This video is brought to you by The Corbett Report, 2009 Video Archive. Buy your copy today at corbettreport.com.
This is James Corbett of corbettreport.com, and it's currently the 17th of December 2010, and today I'm honored to be joined on the line from La Belle Province de Québec by Michel Chossadovsky of the Center for Research on Globalization at globalresearch.ca. He's a professor of economics at the University of Ottawa and the author of numerous books, including America's War on Terrorism and The Globalization of Poverty in the New World Order. And as longtime viewers of the Corbett Report might remember, he is a previous guest on the Economics 101 video series that we've put out in the past. And he's also featured on the new Corbett Report 2009 DVD video archive that's available for purchase from CorbettReport.com. Michel Chossadovsky, it is a pleasure to have you on the program today. Thank you for joining me.
I'm delighted to be on the program.
All right, well, I wanted to talk about Argentina and the IMF and the broader history of the neoliberal economic reforms that ravaged much of Latin America over the past several decades, actually. And I understand you have a lot of personal experience in this area, including also having actually survived the 1976 military coup that overthrew Isabel Perón in Argentina. So tell us a little bit about your background in the area and what experiences you've had dealing with this issue.
Well, I had actually lived through the coup in Chile in 1973. I was visiting professor there, and I had experienced the first neoliberal shock treatment going back to October 73, 1 month after the coup. And immediately after the coup in Chile, bread prices increased from 11 to 40. It was a dramatic hike in prices. And this was implemented by the so-called Chicago Boys, which had integrated the various ministries, particularly the Ministry of Finance and Economics, and so that they implemented this program. But in fact, the program had most probably been put together in Washington under the protection of Henry Kissinger. When I arrived in Argentina, I already had an understanding of how these Latin American economic shock treatment policies were being applied. And I spent several months in Argentina in the industrial city of Córdoba, which is the second largest city at the university. I was teaching at the university. I actually arrived in Córdoba, which is the second largest city in Argentina. I was teaching at the university a couple of months after the coup. In fact, I arrived in the country 3 weeks after the coup and then started teaching there. And this was a period of tremendous turmoil. The whole city was militarized. And then you saw the impacts of these deadly macroeconomic reforms. I suspected that what was going to happen in Argentina would be a replicate of what happened in Chile, and this was the dress rehearsal. These two experiences of the 1970s, the coup in Chile with the Chicago Boys, and the Argentinian military coup in 76 with Finance Minister Martínez Eos. This was the dress rehearsal for all subsequent structural adjustment programs, which then emerged in the 1980s and were then far more cohesive in terms of their institutional support from the International Monetary Fund, they became more institutionalized. They gained in legitimacy. They were applied in numerous countries. And the history of Argentina over a span of 30 years, I think, is very important, because the actual roots of these deadly macroeconomic reforms, which were applied by successive governments in Argentina, that started with the coup in 1976, and in March 1976, and these were measures which had been imposed on Wall Street. And in this regard, the finance minister, Martínez de Hoz, played a very important historical role in setting the stage for a whole historical process which happened subsequently.
Absolutely. Well, I think you're very right to point out that this is, that Argentina and Latin America generally was being used as a testing ground for these types of things, which became more cohesive structural adjustment policies in the 80s, but also B, that Argentina has been a particularly interesting example over the past 30 to 40 years of just a lot of events surrounding the sort of neoliberal takeover that's been really focused on Argentina for a long time. And it's very interesting to watch the way that that's been unfolding over the decades. So I guess the obvious question here is that this could not take place in a vacuum. There's obviously a geopolitical structure that reinforces and supports these types of things, like the military junta that took over in Argentina. And obviously that's enabled by the United States and Henry Kissinger, who was Secretary of State at that time. Can you talk a little bit more about the geopolitical structure that undergirds this economic takeover of various countries?
The United States, of course, considers Latin America as part of its sphere of influence. This was well established under the Monroe Doctrine, that heads of state and heads of government are de facto appointees of Washington. And this, I think this stance has prevailed for more than 100 years, definitely since the latter part of the 19th century, that these countries are semi-colonies of the United States of America. It's perhaps more prevalent in the Caribbean and Central America than it is in the southern part of the hemisphere. But nonetheless, if we look at history, we can see that the U.S. Strategic interests in the region are there, that these governments must interface with Washington, with Wall Street. It's an area of U.S. foreign investment. These are countries, Argentina in particular, that has tremendous natural resources, energy resources, and so on. And then if we look at the map, we see that Argentina extends right down to Antarctica. It's a tremendous landmass. And the geopolitical control over the two largest countries in South America, namely Argentina and Brazil, have persistently been part of the U.S. design. Control of the military is important. If they control the military, they control civilian politics. But it's also the control of financial institutions. But that is the big battle at the moment. It's the battle of Washington against populism, grassroots organizations supporting some semblance of progressive governments, and it's happening in several countries in South America, including Ecuador, Bolivia, Venezuela, of course, and Argentina. On the one hand, and on the other hand, the constant pressure on these governments, as well as the tendencies to push for regime change. So elections in these countries are always very important. But I should also mention that the United States foreign policy has increasingly used so-called progressive or leftist political formations to serve their interests. If we look at Brazil, Luis Ignacio da Silva, the former president of Brazil, was a very faithful servant of U.S. interests. When he was first elected, the IMF said, and I quote, This is our best president, okay? This is our best president, the president of the IMF. And what they was conveying is the fact that that a government controlled by the Workers' Party, the PT, was serving the interests of Wall Street in a far more cohesive way than previous political parties, which may be center-left and so on, so that populism is not necessarily an obstacle to U.S. hegemony. What the United States has done, both overtly as well as covertly, is to mold these political formations, to mold these political parties with advisors who are neoliberals, so that in fact what we get is not necessarily governments which will meet the demands of the people and break the ties with Washington. We get governments which implement neoliberalism. I call it neoliberalism with a human face. That typically describes Brazil, and up to a point it also describes Argentina under the Kirchner governments. The fact that there was a mass movement, but then eventually the governments which are elected will come to terms with the International Monetary Fund, they'll come to terms with the U.S. State Department, and they will establish a modus vivendi which then will derogate the rights of the people who actually supported these governments in the first place. My feeling is that if we want to have real substantial change within these countries, we have to do away with these fake populist regimes, which are facade, which people believe in, but then behind the scenes they negotiate with the multinational corporations, they freeze wages, they cut budgets as instructed by the International Monetary Fund, and so on.
Well, that's an extremely important point, but I'm afraid we're just out of time right now. So just tell people the website where they can find more about your reading, more about your writing.
Our research center, the Center for Research on Globalization or Global Research, has a website. It's globalresearch.ca, which has an extensive archive of reports, analysis on Latin America, but on all major regions of the world, focusing on geopolitical issues, economic aspects, and so on.
Excellent. Well, Michel Chosadovsky, thank you once again for joining us today. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Delighted to be on the program.